Pesach and is summarized in the Lord's Day 42 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 42, where we ask and answer, what does God forbid in the Eighth Commandment? God forbids not only outright theft and robbery, but also such wicked schemes and devices as false weights and measures, deceptive merchandising, counterfeit money, and usury. We must not defraud our neighbor in any way, whether by force or by show of right. In addition, God forbids all greed and all abuse or squandering of his gifts. What does God require of you in this commandment? I must promote my neighbor's good wherever I can and may, deal with him as I would like others to deal with me, and work faithfully so that I may be able to give to those in need. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been given a position of trust. A position of trust. The Lord has entrusted us with whatever belongs to him. The earth and everything in it. The question is then whether we are sufficiently aware of this, our position. And whether we are taking good care of all that has been entrusted to us. Also the proclamation of what we confess as church in Lord's Day 42 on the basis of the word of God compels us to examine ourselves to our stewardship. Stewardship, and then with respect to both theory and practice. Dear beloved, what is our manner of operation with respect to what God has given us? That's the question raised in the Eighth Commandment. The commandment where the Lord our God says, you shall not steal. With it he makes clear of how we are to deal with what we are and what we have, with our money, with our possessions, and with the whole of his creation. Indeed, for many people it's most difficult to be a Christian in view of this commandment, to be completely different. Of course, we do not steal, we do not rob, and yet the question remains whether our manner of spending our money, of buying our goods and using our possessions, is indeed different from the unbelievers. Indeed, the Lord says, do not steal. But that means then not to steal at all. No money from mom's or dad's wallet, no candies from a store, nothing at all. Hands off. Do not touch. Do not take away what belonged to others. Why? Well, because all those monies, goods and possessions belong to the Lord our God. Has been given in trust, in stewardship. Nothing is actually our own. Now, no matter how hard we have worked for it, how diligently we have saved for it, everything is his. Everything in our wallet, in our piggy bank, in our bank account. It's just as we sing it with Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. How beautiful it is then, beloved, that the Lord our God has given that creation and the treasures in that creation, the animals, the plants, the minerals, the gold and the silver, at man's disposal. Or rather, he has entrusted it all to us men. And the question is, why? Well, so that we are able to look after ourselves, to make bread, now to eat and to drink, to buy and to sell, to go on holidays, to have a house to live in, so that we are able to live. The Lord gives it to us so that we could be free, would not to be dependent, would be able to lead a royal and carefree existence in this world of God. And that's why we're also not allowed to steal from one another, are not allowed to take away that freedom, that royal existence from anyone. We are to leave each other that freedom received. Leave each other the possessions as portioned out to us by the Lord. Now, beloved, if we let that sink in, then we cannot but conclude that the Lord puts a lot of trust in us. We marvel at the fact that he wanted to entrust that wondrous creation to us, mankind, wanted to place it under our control. Yes, the Lord didn't do that just like that, but he had every reason to give that position, that trust to us men. For different from the animals, the Lord had created man in such a way that only he could bear that responsibility, that he was able to carry out that, what we call a cultural mandate. For only man was created as the image of God, making God, the invisible God, visible. He was given the gifts necessary to take good care of this, his creation. Only mankind had received the capacity to do so. Understanding and insight, knowledge and wisdom, and a holy and righteous will to use it in subservience to God, his sovereign creator. Now, God granted man then a tremendous position of trust. But how did we respond? Now, how intensely sad and grieving. We have put the Lord and his trust to shame, terribly so. There came a point that we no longer wanted to acknowledge the rights of the Lord, his right to absolute ownership, as also projected and symbolized by that one tree from which we mankind were forbidden to eat. That was simply a matter of hands off, do not steal, and instead of continuing to walk through paradise in surprising wonder about that favorable position of trust as God's image, a shameless act took place. Man surrendered himself to a consumption mentality. Everything is mine, for my use, to be consumed as I see fit. Yeah, we, mankind, Adam deliberately stole from the fruit of the tree, of which the Lord God had said, hands off. Again, man puts the Lord and his given trust terribly to shame. And the result, yeah, we all know from the pages of history, as recorded also with the Bible, mankind lost that God-given freedom, and in the process became more and more under the power of money and greed. Now, beloved, it is a good thing, a very good thing, that the story did not end there. There is that tremendous note of salvation, that we have been delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ from the power of sin. He saved us also from the power of greed, from that gold fever, which has caused already so many deaths. Think of an Achan at the Battle of Jericho. You think of a Judas, one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus. You think of an Ananias and Sapphira. Money cannot be our master, for our master is our Lord Jesus Christ. Money is not our highest good. We are no longer possessed by it. For the Lord Jesus Christ is our highest good, and we are possessed by him. We belong to him with body and soul, both alive and death. And that's why we want to do and use everything with him in mind. Use everything to please him, our Lord and Savior. Indeed, beloved, we may and even enjoy the riches the Lord still grants to us in his grace. When the Lord blesses us with abundance, then we may know it comes from his fatherly hand. When the Lord makes you rich, yeah, you may truly enjoy those riches. The Lord grants it to us so that we would receive it all with thanksgiving. You may enjoy it with every fiber of your being even. Remember, the Lord Jesus himself made sure that the wedding feast at Cana could proceed with gladness. You may enjoy your holidays, your musical instruments, your CDs, DVDs, your brand new bike or skates,
accepts.
Beloved, if the Lord is so generous to us, then we better also be generous to others, to those who have so much less. The Lord Jesus sat at the table with the rich. Indeed, he did not pass them by. But he condemns it when the rich keep their wallets closed for the poor. Again, we may enjoy what we have received, to our heart's content, that is, with thanksgiving. But then the support of the needy, as well as the support of church and kingdom, may never become the last item on our budget, but always the first. Remember the Lord Jesus? He didn't say it for nothing. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all those other things we need, and even those which you do not need, will be yours as well. And that's how we are to be good stewards of God's good gifts across the line. Again, we are his stewards, for everything belongs to him. It's his creation. It's his money. Yeah, everything is his. And with that knowledge and with that mindset, we go to work with our talents and gifts. Yeah, indeed, making the most of them, accumulating daily interest, so to speak, but then with a view to his name, to his everlasting kingdom. And that's how we will work on and with the earth and its fullness. And that's how you, beloved, can go to work with the glorious handiwork of your God, in your God-given position, and always in surprising wonder that he wants to make use of you again. Yes, that he grants, God Christ grants us his trust again. And that glorious fact should make and keep us humble, make us pursue our stewardship with modesty, for we know we are busy with the goods of others, goods entrusted to us. It belongs to the Lord, to the Creator. To him belongs everything. And that's how we go to work, both in theory and practice. This is our second point. For there is this question, what is our manner of operation with respect to what the Lord God has given us? For that's the matter raised here in this eighth commandment, the commandment where the Lord our God says, you shall not steal. And with it, he makes it clear how we have to deal with what we are and have, with our money, with our possessions, with the whole of his creation as entrusted to us. Indeed, the Lord God provides us with many goods and possessions, and some even with many riches. And when they are honestly obtained, we may and even must enjoy what the Lord God has been pleased to portion out to us. As I said, we may enjoy our riches. And when the Lord blesses us with abundance, then we may know it comes from him. And when the Lord grants us riches, then we are really allowed to enjoy them. At the same time, then we want to understand it well, if the Lord is that generous towards us, we cannot be any less generous towards others, towards him. The Lord does not judge the rich when they enjoy the riches. The Lord Jesus, as I said, eats at table with them as well. But he condemns it when the rich keep their well-filled hands, their well-filled purses close to the poor, the needy. Something that has happened all too often during the course of church history. And that's why the Lord God instructs his people to be generous towards the poor. In Deuteronomy 15, he makes it quite clear that we have to be open-handed and freely lend the poor whatever they need, for those inside as well as those outside the church. Remember of what we can read in Galatians 6, verse 10. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all people. To all people. And of course it is understood that we show ourselves generous, especially to the household of God, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, the family of God, with those with whom we have a very special relationship. Again, we certainly may enjoy our riches, but never at the cost of giving generously to others, to the needy, to those who need our help, to institutions of mercy, to societies, called to bring relief, such as the Canadian Farm Growth Relief Fund. These things may never become an appendix to us in the way of first draw what we think is necessary for ourselves, for our own household, for our own relatives, for our hobbies, entertainment, recreations, etc. And only after that we see what's left for the poor, for the church. That we show a great lack of priority. That's not in keeping with seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yeah, beloved, if that would be our attitude, then there will be less and less for others. If we place ourselves in the center of that consumption circle, then that center will become wider all the time. Then it pushes others to the periphery, to the fringes of that circle. For then we want to have more and more for ourselves. And then we will always be found wanting. Then we will never ever be content. The Lord teaches us clearly to be different. In Ephesians 4, what we have read. And there we are urged to do something useful with our hands, to pursue steady work. Why? In order that we may have something to share with those who are in need. Yeah, how important, beloved, to live with such a mindset. And how necessary it is. For there is the constant danger with us of greediness. And something that the Lord warns against most emphatically. In 1 Timothy 6 that we read that people who want to get rich, that they fall into temptation. Into a trap. And into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. If you have love of money, well then you want to have more all the time. And the love of God and the neighbor becomes a more and more a forgotten issue. So beloved, we better remember then that the money is not ours, but that it is the Lord's. And that we have to be good stewards of him. We better realize that we receive our money from him. And the question is then, how do we spend his money? Do we do it the same way as unbelievers do? Do we have the same ideals? Do we hanker after the same things as they do? Now, what's more important? A certain car or a good Bible commentary? A Reformed magazine? Do we have and do we keep our priorities straight? No, we don't have to be misers, but we do have to ask ourselves what is required in the service of the Lord for our personal faith, for the upbringing and education of our children. So, no, beloved, we may not reach out to this creation of God with a coveting attitude. And in a way to try to get out of it what's in it. Again, our God-given stewardship should be accompanied with a befitting modesty. And there is then still lots to develop, we know. There is still much to do. Even though the sad thing is that our work, ever since the fall in paradise, will always be accompanied by many thorns and thistles. Here, everything beautiful still has its shadows. Each invention, every discovery brings its own pollution. And yet, beloved, we as Christians still may be at ease. With all that being apportioned to us, if we receive it then through faith, we use it all that God has given to us, and always with a view to the fact that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. God is going to make sure of that. That's what we're heading for, a new heaven and a new earth. Mind you, that does not mean that we can throw proper care of the earth to the wind. No, we are to be good and faithful stewards across the line. As long as the Lord God lets this earth continue, we do have our task to take good care of it. Also with a view to the generations that are possibly to follow. A responsibility which is to mark our personal lifestyle. And that's how we as appointed stewards of God will pursue our care and labor in keeping with the eighth commandment. We will show a spirit of thriftiness with a few to the earth and its fullness as entrusted to us by our Heavenly Father. Indeed, without faith, that God-given stewardship of the earth will prove to be a hopeless business. For also many unbelievers know that the criminal element in all of us can lead to fearful consequences. We know the 20th century gives very clear proof of that. We know of the Hitlers and the Stalins and the Mayos and the Mussolinis, the Sedans. If they were given the chance, they would have blown up the earth. Now, how great it is then that the Lord our God is very much in control and that he is heading for that day of days on which our Savior will return from heaven and inaugurate a new heaven and a new earth. And that he will not let go of his creation of this heaven and earth. They will not pass away until his appointed hour. Indeed, according to that word of God is found in 2 Peter 3, the elements of the earth are in the process of being destroyed. They wear down, they turn acid and be depleted. But the Lord our God maintains his sovereign position. He remains the same. He does not grow old, nor does he become weary. His plans will never fail. And now already, even though earth and heaven have not yet been worn out, we may live in the faith that there will come a new heaven and a new earth. And we, with all the children of God, we will dwell forever safe. Yeah, we will ever dwell in safety in the presence of our Savior. And that's why, beloved, we will not lose courage. To the contrary, we will live in faith, in sure reliance on the Lord God that he makes everything well. And such a faith bears fruit. Fruit like being faithful in our task, in our work, in our labor, at the job, at home, at school. And remember, it's not what we do, but how, with what attitude we carry out our work. And in the eyes of the Lord, there are also no menial jobs, lowly jobs, jobs of no consequence. No, if we think, if we pray and work as good stewards, pursue our labor out of love for our God, out of love for our neighbor, then everything we'll do will prove to be most important. Now, no matter how mundane, little or insignificant our work may seem to be in the eyes of man. For labor done in the honor of the Lord God the Creator and for the well-being of the neighbor will never ever be in vain. And beloved, as a result, there will always be reason to thank the Lord for the many blessings that we receive from day to day. Blessings that we may enjoy as children of God, but blessings which will be then enjoyed in a proper, in a Christian manner. We will not go on our knees for money and luxuries, but we will go on our knees for Christ our Savior, who has let himself be robbed even of his clothes in order to make us faithful stewards in his Father's world, to make us aware that we have to give account to our God and Maker. But an account which we, thanks to Jesus Christ, do not have to give in our own strength. So that despite the great mess we have made of this one-time perfect world, God will still say to us believers, in the end, at the end, come, faithful stewards, come, in the name of Christ, come and enter my perfectly restored world. Amen.